Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to my Blog Talk Radio show, Live Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Denader, and I'm broadcasting from Marin County, California. I'm happy to have Mary Ellen Smith as my guest for today's show. Mary Ellen Smith is co-author of The Dating Mirror, Trust Again, Love Again. Today we'll be talking about how to use your intuition for dating, how your intuition can help you know when you're dating the wrong person, and also how it can help you know when you're dating the right person for you. Welcome, Mary Ellen.
Hi, Margo. Thanks so much for having me. It's such a pleasure to be with you on the show today.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm really, really delighted to have you on the show. And I had Deanna Durrell, your co-author, my friend, on the show on March 9th, I believe it was. And she got me so curious to hear your side of how the Dating Mirror book came about, how you two met, and just, you know, your side of it, because it's so interesting to me how you had so many things that were similar in your experiences with dating and yet how different you were. So I guess the first question is, you and Deanna published the book together about using your intuition about dating. So how did the book come about? What's your story about that?
Well, Deanna and I met in 2009 at a Colette Baron Reed event, and I call it the gift that keeps on giving because out of that event, I made so many good friends. I came across a picture last night on Facebook of the group from that event, and it was just so great to see it. And Deanna had gotten called up on stage by Colette, you know, which is a little bit daunting. And mm-hmm. I remember her being really very authentic and honest about, you know, the things that were in her heart that were challenging to her. And, mm-hmm. You know, I was so impressed by that. And we became friends afterwards. And neither of us lived in Arizona at the time, but we both came to be living in Arizona a couple of years after that. And, you know, the thing that we had in common was intuition and interest in intuition. But otherwise, like everything from our background, our ages, our heritage, you know, what we learned culturally, everything else was different. And yet we were having these like exact same experiences dating. And, you know, we actually just sat down and said, okay, what is it that we're not seeing? What is it that we're not looking at that's obviously there since the same things are happening to us? And that's how the book came about. And, you know, we actually wrote it pretty quickly, but we didn't publish it for a long time. And I think that's still being revealed to us why it took us a while. Maybe this is just the perfect time for it to be out in the world. But, you know, I think it's really been transformative for both of us to share our unique stories and to help other people just, you know, maybe see more clearly the things that are right in front of them.
I think it's really wonderful because the only thing I would say that if I were to change something about the book, because I think it's a really cool book, I really really enjoyed reading it and I really recommend it, is that it focuses mainly just on women, but I think it could be just as helpful for men. I really do, because even though women have some unique things with dating, I think men need to learn to use their intuition more for dating as well. So I think that for some of the men out there that do use their intuition at all, I think they could really enjoy the book as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you and appreciate you saying that. We went back and forth many times about that because we thought that the information crossed the lines of gender. But, you know, mm-hmm. just kind of like for simplicity in terms of writing the book, you know, with the pronouns and such, mm-hmm. it was just easier to write it from a women's perspective. But we do have, I mean, if you read the book, you know that there's a story in there from a man who's very intuitive, who says basically, yeah, this is the same stuff that I learned also, so I know this book is spot on about that. But
so
it's kind of a practical matter.
Yeah, it just depends on if it's a man who actually even understands what intuition is and uses their intuition, then I think they could really benefit from it. If not, then they maybe need to start somewhere else and learn about intuition first. Okay, now in your bio, you mentioned storytelling. Can you tell us a little bit about storytelling and how that relates to dating?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things I think is important to realize is that the things that you say out loud are kind of a recording that the universe is always listening to. So when you have these repetitive phrases like, I always date guys who are losers, or the men who I date always cheat on me, then these things just become a self-fulfilling prophecy. That's really what the universe hears, and that's what the universe sends you. So you have to get out of the habit of negative self-talk. And I'll teach you a technique that I use to retell my own story. But first, I wanted to share a story that happened just really recently, where a coworker of mine was getting divorced, and he had been in a ten year marriage. And so whenever he told me about his marriage, and it was really raw and new, and so I get that, he kept saying 10 years, 10 years, 10 years over and over and over. And he was just making himself more shell-shocked with the time frame. So I know what it's like to come out of a long-term relationship. I myself was married for 24 years. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that the fact that it was 24 years made it more traumatic when I talked about it and to other people, because you would think you would be through the worst of it in 24 years that meant that it was going to last, but the time doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to last. So at one point I asked myself, well, what if the things that happened in 24 years, what if that all happened in a year somehow, all those experiences and emotions and, interactions. And then I said to myself, and so how long would it take me to recover from that? And I thought to myself, not that long. So, it was still a process and all that, but if you're using a length of time in a relationship either to justify being in it or to traumatize yourself getting out of it, I would just invite people to take out that element of time and stop focusing on that aspect in order to get past where you are now.
I've never heard of it put that way, but that is just such a great way to reframe it and to look at it in a whole new way. And you're right. I mean, it's like you feel like if you've been married for a long time, 10 years, 15 years, 25 years, whatever it is, that it's supposed to last forever. And you're right. I think in some ways that it makes it harder to leave the marriage and harder to talk about being out of the marriage if you're looking at it as being, oh my gosh, I've been in it for this long. So that's a really interesting way to reframe it for yourself, where you're realizing that you think of it in a whole new way. So how did you start to retell your story?
Well, I learned a process from Peggy McCall called life scripting.
Mm-hmm.
And that process involves telling a story about your life the way that you want it to be. And it's nothing to do with the way that your life might be right now. So I had a list of over 50 qualities that I wanted in a man. Some were physical qualities, like being fit, but most were about personal characteristics, like it wasn't like somebody who loved animals. It wasn't stuff like blue eyes, blonde hair kind of things. And I wrote down all of those qualities in a narrative, like as if I was describing my life right now, the way the man that I wanted in my life was present. And I used freeconferencecalling.com, and I made a recording of myself talking about this man. I also had like other aspects of what I wanted in my life, and it was about 20 minutes long. And so I would I downloaded the MP3 that I made, and I would just listen to it in the morning when I was getting dressed. And some days I was in a good mood, and the things that I was saying seemed possible. And other days it seemed like very far-fetched, but I realized that the universe didn't really know the difference between a recording and live talking. And ultimately delivered to me what was on the list.
That is so cool. I remember making a list of a similar list way back before I met, well, got together with my husband, Dudley. I can't remember if I met him first or after. I think I met him after. But yeah, you're right. The list was not just how the person would look. In fact, I'm not even sure if I put anything about the actual coloring or looks or anything like that. I don't think I did. I'd have to relook up the list. But most of the things were how I would feel when I was with him, and that he'd get along well with my family because my family's really important to me, and that he'd want to have kids, a kid or kids, and, you know, we'd go on fun vacations. I mean, there were just all these things that about how fun it would be and how we would get along and that sort of thing. And so I can really relate to what you're saying about that.
Yeah, it's tapping into the feeling. I think you know, you really captured something important there. Like the feeling that you have when you're with the person is what ultimately draws them to you. And we get super focused on the external things, like the way we're going to meet somebody or the things about them, like what they look like. And those are really more like the superficial things, you know, aspects of a relationship.
Yeah, and I think also people get caught up in the how. If you asked how is this going to happen, instead of being open to it happening in some sort of magical and fun way, which I think happened to you, didn't it? What happened?
Oh, yeah.
So after you did that script, then what happened?
Yeah, and it was funny. I mean, there was a point where I guess I was really pretty low about the whole thing, like the, you know, believing that the relationship wouldn't happen. And my advice to anybody listening to this and who's looking for a relationship is that you're probably a lot closer than you think. I often think back of the span of time between when I was doing this recording and when I actually, you know, met the man that I'm with right now, is that was about 3 months. And that's not long in the grand scheme of things, right? But at the time, you know, here we go back to the concept of time again, like everything seemed so long until I actually met him. And then the time that I waited seemed minuscule, you know, in comparison. And so he just ended up walking in front of me at New Vision Center for Spiritual Living in Phoenix. And went later on when I told him about the list. His joke is all I had to do was show up. Like, he didn't have to really do anything. Yeah, it was funny. Like, I really wasn't attached to where I would meet somebody. But I remember on that particular day saying to myself, I didn't really feel like going. And I said to myself, I'll just watch it on the I'll just watch the service online. And then I said, no, Mary Ellen, that's the easy thing to do. Just make a little effort and, you know, get out and be with people. And so you never really know when you walk out the door, when your life is going to change in a big way. or when you're going to have an impact on someone.
That is so true. And I remember a friend of mine telling me about intuition, too, that when you hear, oh, I should do this or I should do that, it's your ego talking. But when you hear, go, Mary Ellen, go to this event. Get out there, go do it. And you're going, no, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I'm too tired. I don't feel like I want to go tonight, you know, or today or whatever it is. It's call that person, go this place, whatever. That's your intuition speaking. And so the universe was giving you a nudge, I think, for you to get out there.
Yeah,
and get
right.
To that
And fear can be a kind of a shapeshifter. And so sometimes fear can just give you these little messages in a way that's, you know, it's comfortable to accept them. But then, you have to question, like, is this really, what is in my best interest? And so I guess, yeah, that was my intuition talking that was really telling me it's really in your best interest to get out. Because I was living alone at the time, and so I was fairly isolated. Going to New Vision Center on Sundays was one of the opportunities I had during the week to see people, you know, to see friendly, like-minded people. So I think that was kind of it. It's like, I really know that it's in my best interest to just go out and spend some time with people.
Well, I remember Sonia Choquette. I don't know if you're familiar with her, but she's been one of my teachers about intuition.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
she always says that two things. Intuition is moment to moment. And then she also says that if you say the words, I wonder, it gets your intuition going. And so she got me in the habit of, when I'm going to go places, saying, I wonder who I'm going to meet. I wonder, you know, what it's going to be like. I wonder how much fun we're going to have, you know. And it's funny because then I start paying attention to who shows up and who I'm going to meet. And that's how I met Deanna, in fact, is myself, is through first Facebook and then going to the Hay House Movers and Shakers event here in San Francisco in 2010. So you never know who you're going to meet, but you're going to meet a whole lot more interesting people out getting out there than you will staying at home. I know that for a fact.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a client who likes to say, when something challenging happens, I wonder what good will come from this. And it really challenges you to reframe your thinking about, oh, my gosh, this is terrible or horrible or whatever, you know, that something good could possibly come. And most people who have had extreme challenges will tell you that it seemed really bad at first. But then when something happened because of that just changed all the circumstances. So, I think that question of I wonder is a really powerful one.
I had never thought to use the I wonder, though. You just gave me the idea to use it with what I call my PSQs that I have in my book, The Art of Living a Life You Love. I have this whole chapter that's on questions that you ask and asking empowering questions. And the PSQs are basically problem-solving questions. And the first one is, what's good about this? So as soon as something happens that seems terrible or disappointing or not what you wanted, that's the first thing that we've gotten in the habit, my family and friends and I always say, well, what's good about this? And I like the idea, though, of asking, I wonder what's good about this. That sounds like it'd be really good. The time is absolutely flying by, and I just wanted to mention that next week on the 25th of May, my guest is going to be Michelle Chappell, and we're going to be talking about her album, Call Me Crazy, and you'll get to hear a song by her during the show. And also, you can sign up for my email newsletters for my radio show, Live Your Music, on my website at margotjoydenader.com. And I would like all of you out there listening to remember that the important thing about listening to the show is for it to inspire you also to live the music you hear calling you. So what music do you hear calling you? What do you feel inspired to do? What gives you joy? Are you willing to let go of your limiting beliefs and let yourself live your music? I hope each of you listening will do your best to love yourself, love the people and animals in your life, live your music, and enjoy your time on this beautiful planet we call Earth. And, you know, it's the Earth is full of life lessons, isn't it? You know, it really is full of lessons. And it's also full of wonderful things and wonderful people. And like we were just talking about before, about saying, I wonder what's good about this when something happens that wasn't what you planned. And it's, and you know,
absolutely.
I don't know about you, but I've never not found some sort of answer. I mean, sometimes I have to ask it a bunch of times because I'm going, nothing is good about
I'm getting nothing.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, usually after a while you start going, well, you know, it could have been a whole lot worse. And that's the start. And then the next question I like to ask with that is what outcomes do I want? What am I willing to stop doing? What am I willing to do? And how can I enjoy the process while I get the results that I want? So, you know, those are all things that can help us focus back on what we can do. And like you were saying, one of the biggest things we can do, as Abraham Hicks teaches us also, is to tell a new story. You know, stop telling the story of what went wrong or what you're upset about. Start visualizing your desired outcome. And as Abraham Hicks loves to say, by visualizing my desired outcome, the perfect action is always inspired. And I found that every word in that, Mary Ellen, is true. So it's a reminder always to start visualizing our desired outcomes instead of what we don't want.
Yeah, absolutely, Marco. I mean, and I love your stories about the different questions and asking questions, because you mentioned earlier about, you know, how do I know if I'm right dating the right person, or how do I know if I'm dating the wrong person? And you know, I think a lot of that goes back to the question that you're asking, and are you asking the right question? So a lot of people will be asking this question, you know, is he the one, is he the one, is he the one? You know, maybe the right question for you really is, you know, are my needs getting met? Do I feel safe and supported in this relationship? Those are probably more appropriate questions.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had an experience with a friend of mine. We were out at dinner at like happy hour, and her daughter was there. And her daughter, I think she had just turned 21, so she was having like her first happy hour drink, you know, with you know, out with people. And so my friend was talking about the relationship that her daughter was in, and she was saying, well, you know, and she was right there, so she's listening. And so she said, well, she doesn't know if he's the one. And I couldn't help myself, and I said, yes, she does. And my friend kind of persisted, and she said, well, she doesn't know if he's the one. She's really not sure. And so I looked at her daughter, and I said, yes, she does. And so she looked at me, and she kind of was, then she started tearing up, and she said, yes, I do. And it was just a case of she wasn't really admitting it right then, but she did know. So, you know, I think we've all been in this position where we kind of keep repeating, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, but we're asking a question that if we reframe the question, ask a different question, we do have the answer. It just might not be one that we want to embrace right now.
That's so true. And just the fact, what I'm hearing too, when you're asking her, or talking to her about that, is that if she's not sure, I mean, if there's any doubt in how she feels about it, then it probably isn't the right one also, you know, and just not wanting it not to be, because it's a lot more convenient to already be in the relationship.
Right, because as soon as you start answering that question with the negative, like, no, this is not the one, then you're like, oh, my gosh, I have to get back online dating, and oh, my gosh, and, you know, all my friends are getting married, or, you know, what have you. And
right.
Yeah, it's easier. It's just easier to be in that relationship that is maybe not quite right, but
Well, it seems easier, and it is maybe in the moment, but in the long run, it's not. So, you know, but I think sometimes people need someone else to come along that has experience, like you did for her, and be able to keep asking the question that she needed to hear, and then and to be able to help her understand how she was feeling.
Right, right. And a lot of this goes back to, you know, storytelling, the way you're telling the story, or if you're focusing on the length of the relationship. And when you're focused on those things, then you just go around in this little hamster wheel type circle.
You know, we're running out of time, and it's a really important aspect of it, that what you guys wrote about in there called deal breakers. So if you could briefly talk about that, and then a little bit about how you can tell if it is the right person, that would be great.
Yeah, so one of the pieces of advice I want, you know, to give to the listeners is to don't be afraid to get specific about what it is that you want. If you're looking for a job, you probably have a long list of things that you need, like a salary and a location and a kind of work and the size of the company and the coworkers and the office environment, you know, and all. And it's a lot of things. And so sometimes, like some, you know, like maybe a job will come along, and it's on completely the wrong side of town. You're like, wow, that's a great job, but it's in the wrong side of town, so I'm not going to take it. It's pretty easy because that's not necessarily an emotional thing. But when it comes to dating, a lot of times, like, you know, we'll take that one big deal breaker that we probably know about at the beginning. Like, you know, maybe he's, you know, he smokes pot every day and you're against that. And we'll say, oh, he's cute, so I'm going to go out with him. And you know, you need to just kind of look at things unemotionally and say, if I was telling a friend about this situation, if my friend came to me and said, hey, I met this guy, he's really cute, and he smokes pot every day, and I'm really against that, what do you think? You know, you would say, well, don't go out with him. He's not a good match for you. Or if you go out with him, you know, just don't be expecting it, you know, to be long term. So we get really invested a lot of times because we're, you know, we see the exterior and we get really distracted by it. But don't be afraid to get specific. Because
in other words, how handsome or cute or attractive they are to you. That you, even though, and in this case, you're saying that that would be a deal breaker. I mean, maybe for some people that wouldn't even be an issue. But wow, well, I think they need to get your book. And I love what you had said about the book, about it'll help you if you read it, and you don't even have to read it straight through, which is also true of mine. You know, you can just let the universe pick a page, or you can read the chapter that you want to that appeals to you, but. Mary Ellen, thank you so much for being on the show today and for you two writing this book that I think can help so many people learn to use their intuition in dating and also to tell a clearer and a more positive story about what they want, not just with dating, but in life.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. This information really translates to different areas of your life. I mean, even when you think about a job, sometimes like everything can seem in place, but something just seems off to you, right? So,
yeah.
And if you end up taking the job, you find out why. So that was your intuition talking.
So true, so true. Well, everyone out there, go get a copy of The Dating Mirror. And thank you again for being on my show. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And please, everyone, share this with your friends if you know anyone that needs to have some of this advice.
Thank you so much, Margo, for helping us get our message out into the world.
You're welcome. Bye for now, everyone. I will be back next week on Wednesday. Have a great week. Bye.
Bye.